I've got AIDS. Beastman AIDS.
The rest of the Autobots. Let's transform and let's go fuck Galvatron right up his ass.
Ew.
Oh, Dave, that's nasty.
Not literally.
You gotta snap out of it, Lion-O! Call the Thundercats before!
Shut up, you fuck.
Stone by day, warriors by night. We were betrayed by the humans we have sworn to protect, frozen in stone by a magic spell.
Good afternoon, everybody. Seriously, really nice, awesome fucking day here in Los Angeles. Listen, I just start the damn show and I've already cursed twice, and I've been talking for moments. This is a problem. Maybe I should curb back on my cursing a little bit. I think I should. You're right. I know I'm gonna end up cursing in a few seconds anyway, so the hell with it. See, that's exactly what I meant. I'm a damn potty mouth. It's terrible. Never thought I'd be that guy. I never thought I'd be the guy that just cursed all the time. Seriously, beautiful day here in Los Angeles. Not a damn cloud in the sky. It is all kinds of sunny right now. It's ridiculous sunny for April. We ain't been getting no crazy rain like everybody keep on predicting on the news. They keep on predicting rain. It ain't rain like crazy. I've already been outside. Oh, God. Okay, you want to know why I went outside? I'm supposed to be sending a package to somebody. I'm supposed to be mailing a package to Big Daddy Donnie from theoshow.com. Because apparently up in Canada, they ain't got no Count Chocula. So I want to send him this damn package. And the Count Chocula is like $2 for two boxes. Remember, you know, 99 cent store thing. So I want to send him this package. And I go to the postal place across the street. And they ring it up. Guess how much they want to charge me for this? Guess. Take a wild ass guess. Nope. Higher. $39 to send two boxes of cereal somewhere. $39. This is like 40 times or 20 times the price of what it cost. And they want me to pay that much to send it. So I'm going to find a cheaper method, damn it. I will find a bunch of pigeons and aim them towards a spot in Ontario, and I will have these damn pigeons take him that cereal. But see, I'm going to find some way to get it, because I really feel bad that he has no access to Count Chocula. That shit is just not right. Everyone should have the right to Count Chocula, I say. Who else is with me? Thank you very much for your support, people. So this episode, if you can't tell by the very beginning with all these random clips from cartoons being total potty mouths and stuff, maybe that's why I'm cursing. I was influenced by my own damn theme song. See? Makes perfect sense now. But this episode is going to be about 80s stuff, 80s and the 90s. I'm talking about movies, cartoons, video games, whatever. It's going to be a very 80s and 90s heavy episode. So for any young ass listeners out there listening to this, a lot of this stuff may not seem too familiar to you. So a lot of this stuff may be things you've never heard of, unless you shop at Hot Topic, because Hot Topic loves bringing back old stuff and making it seem brand new. Because I remember a few years back, everybody was running around with Thundercats stuff. Like everybody had Thundercats shirts. And if I sit there and I'm seeing like a 19-year-old with a Thundercats shirt, I'm just like, what the hell you know about Thundercats? It's like the same kind of douchebags that run around wearing Ramones shirts, you know, thinking they're fantastic just because they're wearing a Ramones shirt. It's like, can you name more than two Ramones songs? You know, name me Ramones songs that's not I Want to Be Sedated. Make sure that's not one of them, and I'll consider you. Maybe you're familiar with the Ramones, but otherwise, don't wear that Ramones shirt. That's not necessary. Just like with Thundercats, because true fans of the Thundercats know that after that show, the best part of that show is the last 2 minutes and the opening credits. Thundercats has one of the most action-packed ass theme songs ever created in television, but that show is boring. Whatever you remember about Thundercats, just keep it in your mind, because trying to dredge those memories back by watching the show will leave you bored for about 26 minutes until they get to the end of the show where Lion-O calls all the Thundercats and it's super action-packed. But yeah, I should probably try to speak about this in some form of a structure, huh? Growing up, my life was so influenced by cartoons. I'm talking about from the moment I woke up into the day, especially if it was a weekend, I was all about the television and watching cartoons. Now, during the weekdays, I used to wake up at the ass crack of dawn because my father woke up at the ass crack of dawn, and I'd turn on Channel 11 and they'd be playing cartoons. They'd be playing some bad cartoons. They'd be playing like Groovy Ghoulies and Gilligan's Island cartoon and stuff like that, but I still watched them because I love cartoons. So then we'd go to my grandmother's house before school started, more cartoons. Sitting there watching those, especially if it was like vacation or something, we'd sit there watching Bigfoot and the Muscle Machines and My Little Pony and Glowworms and Jim because she was truly outrageous. Yes, I watch girl cartoons, get over it. So we'd sit there watching these cartoons and we go to school, talk about cartoons. What's the best one? I don't know how many damn times I drew Lion-O from the Thundercats. Terrible, terrible pictures of him, but I thought they were fantastic because I wanted to drive in the damn, you know, the tank they drove, the Thundercats mobile. What the hell did they call a Thundercats car? Shit, I feel horrible for not remembering. But they used to, I used to sit there and draw that, and then get back home, race home actually, and watch more cartoons, watch Camp Mini Monsters and Street Frogs and Tiger Sharks and all that stuff. I'd get home and watch cartoons, then, you know, into junior high, racing home to watch Disney Afternoon. Disney Afternoon, which is where that last clip for the intro where Gargoyles is from. Gargoyles was the best cartoon ever. It jumped the shark once it went to Channel 7. It became a completely different format and everything. It was just terrible. But Gargoyles was awesome. There was Gargoyles. There was DuckTales. There was Chip and Dale, the Rescue Rangers. Goof Troop, which I didn't like that much. There was the Gummy Bears. There was Tailspin. There was Aladdin. There's a Little Mermaid. There's some. I know I'm like really leaving out some really good ones, but Disney Afternoon ruled the afternoon. News after a certain point, because it used to be all about Channel 11 and Channel 13 here in Los Angeles. They used to play cartoons that used to just love, but then all of a sudden Disney Afternoon came out and no one could beat that. It was two solid hours of awesome ass cartoons. And then on the weekends, I remember they used to do every fall, it was like the thing, me and my brother Jerron used to just wait for the fall preview. They used to play on TGI Fridays. They play the preview for all the cartoons coming out in the fall, and we just be like, oh my god, just so excited about Saturday mornings. And then Saturday mornings became like a battle royal of which station you were going to watch, because from 5 in the morning on Saturdays until like 2 in the afternoon, you had all these cartoons to watch, and you just sat there picking and choosing which ones to watch and everything. Now don't get me wrong, I know I watched a lot of TV growing up, but somehow as a child I had awesome time management skills, which I still like to think to this day I do, and I would be able to watch all these cartoons yet still be able to have time to go to the arcade, play games, play video games at home, and go outside and play with my friends or with my brother, or go outside and just play with toys by myself. I still had the ability to do all that, which kids nowadays do not have that ability. Kids nowadays, they will just jump on the internet, or they will just play their video games and then go to sleep. Their only interaction with their friends is like talking to them through their actual video game or texting them. They won't actually physically go outside and play with them. I remember some comedian bringing up that sad ass fact where he was like, when's the last time you went outside and saw kids playing? I was just like, damn, that's a really good question. When is the last time you ever just saw kids playing outside? No, I'm not talking on the playground. And I don't know how many of y'all have the opportunity to watch kids playing in the playground, you bunch of perverts. But I don't. And I don't want it, because kids terrify me. They're very strange nowadays. And don't get me started on our music back then. Man, back then, the music was fantastic. Now let me take you kids on a trip back through time for CD players and Discman and all that other fancy shit. This one, we just had records to play. All we had were records. I'm talking about before cassettes were out, before anybody could afford cassettes. We'd sit there with our record players and just blast out, or sit there attached to the damn thing. You could only go as far as the headphones would let you go, pretty much, if you didn't want to disturb everybody else in the house with your music. And I sit there listening to Off the Wall. I remember listening to Off the Wall 1,000 damn times. And you sit there listening to different records, listening to the, you know, the popping sound on it, and if a record skipped. My family, I don't know how many people did this, but if you clean the record with alcohol and it didn't work, butter. I don't know why, but you'd put butter, rub it around the record, and all of a sudden the damn thing would work again. I don't suggest trying it now, because most records now are like antiques, and I don't think you want to be smearing butter on your records. But back then, butter used to work. I know everybody has a different way of fixing it, but mine was butter. And you sit there listening to that, and I remember when cassettes came out, my brother Kevin had a big-ass boombox. He didn't have one of those giant fancy ones that weighed 50 pounds, all the lights and magic shows on it and stuff. Just a regular big-ass boombox. And I remember sitting there listening to the Color soundtrack over and over again. Cursing that soundtrack, and I didn't curse when I was little, so I'd just be bleeping out all the stuff myself. Just sitting there listening to music. You'd hear people driving down the street blasting music in their cars. So many people had like the same stations on. You could just walk down the street and you just hear radios blasting out of everybody's house, playing like the same exact stations, or just playing music. And there was just so much good music to go around back then. And the movies, oh my god. Back in the 80s and 90s, movies were fantastic. And they still are. That's one of the things about movies and things from back then, is that they still measure up. Yes, the effects are really terrible when you go back and watch it. And Teen Wolf is just one of the most goofiest movies you've ever seen in your life. But back then, Teen Wolf looked real. That looked like Michael J. Fox looked like a real damn werewolf when I first saw that movie when I was little. But movies don't have that shelf life like they do now. Like new movies now, you watch them once or twice and you're just done with them. But you can go back and watch old-ass movies like Goonies and stuff like 1,000 damn times and have no issue with watching it over and over again. There was just something about the way those movies were made that just made them more palatable. Like, you could just sit there and watch them, and even, you know, 20-something years later, you can sit there and watch them and still enjoy them. And I miss that. I miss that about movies. And the clothes we wore back then. Okay, now that's one thing where you kids kind of have it a little bit better. See, you wear skinny jeans on purpose nowadays. Back then, we didn't have a choice. Growing up, baggy pants were not a style. They just were. There were just no other form of pants. Your pants were just just tight just because that's the way they were. I swear I'm so tempted to be like Danny O from the old show and call them Bati Riders. But seriously, they were really tight-ass pants. And if you wore baggy pants, kids would make fun of you if you wore baggy pants. They'd say you were wearing your daddy's pants or your big brother's pants. But back then, pants didn't leave nothing to the imagination. But you didn't think like that just because they were just pants. And then a few years later, biker shorts came out. Biker shorts were the best invention ever on women. Because dudes started wearing biker shorts, and that shit was terrifying. Ain't nothing nastier than seeing a man in biker shorts. If you don't believe me, if you're on my Facebook, look in my profile and search for Captain Cucumber. Because that nasty bastard's still over here in West Hollywood wearing biker shorts, and it's disgusting because he ain't got no drawers on with it. But back then, when girls would wear biker shorts, oh my God, biker shorts were just the hottest damn thing back then. Then we started getting crazy. We started getting a little bit carried away, you know, with colors and such. Because we had clothes like those shirts where you touched them and the temperature would change and it'd be like a handprint color on your shirt or something. And that was cute. That was okay, you know. And then we started getting a little bit more crazier. Started coming out with damaged and used, which were clothes that looked like somebody had threw them in a garbage disposal. It was like just torn up ass clothes. I ain't talking about just no rip in the knee part of your pants. No, this was the whole outfit looked like somebody went Rodney King on the damn thing. There was those. Then we started getting all colorful and shit with the cross colors. Cross colors look like black people lost their damn minds when cross colors came out. And yes, I was guilty of wearing cross colors, but they were very plain cross colors. And everybody just wore these loud ass outfits that just looked all psychotic and shit. I didn't understand it, but it was the style. And I tried not to be in style. It wasn't hard because I like to wear a lot of cheap ass clothes. So it's not hard to not be in style when you wear cheap ass clothes. But my brother, like I mentioned before, when he got rid of a lot of his clothes, he passed them on to me, and then all of a sudden now my ass is in fashion. And it drew attention, and it was the wrong kind of attention. I didn't like that. I like my plain, dirty, simple ass, you know, half name brand ass shoes and my half name brand ass clothes and stuff. Because that's what a lot of 90s were, which is nothing but you wearing something really expensive just because it had a logo on it. I mean, that kind of stuff still goes on to this day, but back then, man, that shit was crazy. So I'm going to take me a quick break, because I know I want to talk more about 80s and 90s movies and stuff. So I'll take a quick break, play some music, and I'll talk to you all in a second.
Celebration starting under the street lights. The scene is being set. In a long time, Fisley boy. I am sick of hearing these bullshit Superman stories about the wassa legendary Bruce Leroy catching bullets with his teeth. Catches bullets with his teeth? Nigga, please.
Welcome back, everybody. Who can't hear DeBarge and think of The Last Dragon? I can't. Every time I listen to damn DeBarge now, first thing I think of is The Last Dragon. I don't know. I do know why. It's because DeBarge is featured heavily. There's like a whole damn music video in that movie from DeBarge. Or El DeBarge or Chico or whatever. One of them damn DeBarges. The main one. The one girls liked. He's featured heavily in that damn movie. I love Last Dragon. I remember wanting that power so bad. And I thought that if you just wished hard enough, and you was getting your ass beat, that all of a sudden you start glowing and whooping people's asses and having sparks flying off their bodies and stuff. And Shonuf was so badass. Even though nowadays, if you saw a villain walk up to you dressed like that with a Shogun outfit, with like a 2-foot Jerry curl with a ponytail up at the top, you'd think something very differently of him. But back then, that was badass. I love Shonuf. I was so pissed off when the guy who played him passed away like last year or something. But that dude was so badass in the 80s. I remember when we got Select TV. For those of you youngins, back in the day when cable was first around, before everybody called it cable, there was two cable companies. There was Select TV and there was On. And with each of these channels, whenever you order the pay-per-view, a cable man would actually come to your house and install this for you. He would flick some little switches on the back of your cable box, and all of a sudden you had pay-per-view. Nowadays, of course, you can't do that because they ain't going to be sending out no millions of guys to people's houses to connect for a pay-per-view or something. But back then, that's how you got it. And I remember when we got Select TV one time, as soon as it came on, The Last Dragon was on, and I damn near lost my mind. I love that movie so much. Last Dragon will always be one of my favorite movies of all time. I was just watching this damn commercial on TV. It was showing a commercial for VH1. It was showing these two new reality shows. Some Basketball Wives bullshit, and Brandy and Ray J both get new shows. Now, Ray J is now known for fucking Kim Kardashian and making, you know, filming it and having a porno made out of it. And Brandy is known for killing a woman with her car. These people are not known for their musical abilities anymore. They're known for infamous reasons nowadays. So they're both going to have a reality show, and it shows them doing nothing but fighting and bullshit. And then you switch over to MTV, and MTV is known now more for Jersey Shore and other reality shows like Real World, if that shit's still on or whatever. And each of these channels play nothing but reality shows. If you want to watch a music video, you have to do that Insomniac Theater type shit, where you have to watch it like 3 in the morning or something. Each of these channels needs to forfeit their names. VH1 is no longer Video Hits 1. I don't know if people even knew that that's what VH1 stood for. And MTV is no longer music television, so they need to get rid of their name as well. It was funny because MTV ended up coming out with MTV 2, MTV 3, MTV Trace, and all these other different versions of MTV to make music videos. Like, so you couldn't watch regular videos on MTV, so you had to switch to these extra versions of MTV just to watch a damn music video. And then it got to the point where they started cramming those with so many reality shows that they had to make another channel. And then that got crammed reality shows, and they made another channel. Just quit it altogether. It makes absolutely no sense that music videos do not get played on MTV or VH1. Because when I was little, all the damn time, music videos got played on MTV. That's where you went. That's where you went to watch music videos, was MTV, and watch the newest debut and all that. Now you can just go online, because you sure as hell will not be watching a music video being played on MTV or VH1. Shit's depressing. And now, surprise, surprise, I got listener questions. Got listener questions from Josh. Josh Smith, who, if you, those of you recall, recorded the April Fool's episode of my show. Now, I asked for some listener questions, and he was the fastest and only one to respond, so I'm going to answer his questions. His first question, I swear to God. His first question, which golden girl would you sleep with, then, not now? Of course, I wouldn't sleep with him now, because a couple of them dead, and that's just disgusting. But I always had to think for Betty White. Yeah, Betty White. Always had to think for her. It's funny, if you look at young pictures of Betty White, she was hot. Now, out of all of the golden girls, I'm going to pick her. Rue McClanahan, though, looks slutty. Like, Rue McClanahan even played a slutty character on the Golden Girls, which sounds just disturbing saying out loud as thinking it. But between the four of the Golden Girls, I would go for Betty White. I'd still go for Betty White nowadays. I'm that horrible of a person. His second question, if you could create a wrestling championship and be the inaugural champion, what would the characteristics of the championship be? Dude, I already created my own damn wrestling thing. It's called Living Room Wrestling. LRW, baby. I think my MySpace profile was still up. If you go myspace.com/livingroomwrestling, just leave the G out. And that profile should still be up. And I know I have a few videos from it here on my dontania.blogspot.com page. I haven't done any living wrestling stuff in a long ass time, but I had a lot of characters that I played on there. I was a champion, of course, season premiere. That's where Stepdaddy came from, Phantom came from, Kinky, Hector Concarne, my friend Alex Haluk, the Bears with Sparklers on YouTube. He was the White Shadow. My cousin Reynard was RJB. Osho Rider, Christopher Kasur was on there. I think his name was the Irish Hammer. So yeah. There was quite a few of us in Living Room Wrestling, even though I was the only one who would shoot videos and stuff. But there was a championship, which is just nothing but my foam little WWE Cruiserweight Championship or Light Heavyweight Championship belt. And the characteristics of it would be just whoever's a champion has to defend it, and the only way to lose it is like a really violent method that is never filmed. That's pretty much the characteristics of my championship for Living Room Wrestling. LRW. And Josh's third question, what would be your choice weapon in a street fight? And then, of course, he had to go and ruin it by saying non-lethal. So if I'm going to sit here and go with non-lethal choices, I think my ass is going to go with brass knuckles. That's going to be my choice of weapon. Because otherwise, I have like 1,000 damn knives and weapons and swords and shit in my house. But I'll go with my brass knuckles, which I need to get back because I let somebody borrow my brass knuckles and they ain't giving them back yet. And they need to un-ass the brass knuckles. I don't need them for any particular reason, but I like to know that in case I get into a damn zombie fight, I won't have to like cut my hands punching some zombie in the mouth and getting infected and then hiding from all of you and then turning zombie on your asses while you're asleep. Not for real. I wouldn't be that dude. There's always that dude in zombie movies that hides their infection from everybody and ends up just in the middle of the night. I wouldn't do that to y'all. I'll tell you if I was becoming a zombie or not. I'm that good of a friend. So thanks for your questions, Josh Smith. I'll put links to his page, but you can look up Josh at thinktwiceradio.com. Look him up. Listen to his show, damn it. You ain't got nothing else to do. Shut up. So everybody, that's it for this random-ass episode. This is really a random-ass episode. I am fully aware of this. So everybody have an awesome-ass weekend. I believe it's Friday. Yay, the joys of unemployment. You don't know what days of the week it is. Sarcasm just oozing all out of my booty. So everybody take care. Have an awesome-ass weekend. I'll talk to some of you. I'll be seeing a couple of you, hopefully. And I think that's about it, y'all. Rockets.
Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
Who am I?
Sure enough.
I can't hear you.
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.